was a rich man, there was a poor man. A rich man and a poor man. That's life, isn't it? The rich men, the rich women, the rich people, the poor men, the poor women, the poor people. That's life. In the ancient world and in the world that Jesus was preaching in, he was telling this story to the Pharisees and the scribes, the in people, the people who had an inside track into the religious life of the ancient Jewish world. The Pharisees were the lawyers of the day. The people who knew about Moses, knew about the law, knew how you were supposed to live, knew how you were supposed to act, knew how you were supposed to treat people. And the scribes. And the scribes were the folks who copied the scriptures from generation to generation to generation. And when they copied it, they learned it. I like to remember the definitions of scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees with little tricks of memory, like the Pharisees. They were interested in the law, therefore they were fair, you see. And the Sadducees, they were very powerful, but they didn't believe in life after death or the resurrection. Therefore, they were sad, you see. Ooh. Oh, I'm bombing here. I need new writers. The ancient world had these interesting groups, and of all the people who should have understood how to treat other people, it should have been the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. They had read Moses. They understood what the law required. They used to debate over large subjects and silly subjects. For example, could you eat an egg that was laid on the Sabbath day? The law says, on the Sabbath day you will not do any work, neither you, nor your wife, nor your children, nor your servants, nor aliens in your midst. They don't mean E.T. by that. They mean non-Jews. And indeed, not even your animals can do work on the Sabbath day. So, laying an egg is work, therefore, you can't eat it. But you could eat the chicken that grew up from that egg eventually. They used to debate issues like that. They were important issues to these people. They had read, they understood the law. And therefore, for them, this story should have been meaningless. Rich people are people who have made it. They've got power and influence and authority. They're the people who God likes. The rich people are the people that God favors. Therefore, they don't go to Hades. They go to heaven with Father Abraham, right? Right? That's what they should do. The poor people, they're the people that God hasn't favored. They don't have food, they don't have money, they don't have cars, they don't have houses or chariots. They haven't been favored by God. Therefore, if they're not being favored by God, they shouldn't be going to heaven to be with Father Abraham. They should be going to Hades, right? That's called deuteronomic theology. Let's play Mr. Rogers here for a minute. Say deutero. Nomic theology. Deuteronomic theology. Yeah, that kind of sounds garbled to me. Deuteronomic theology. Got it. And that theology says this: if you do right, if you act right, if you follow the law, if you keep God's commandments, then you will be blessed and nothing bad will happen to you. But if you do things that are wrong, if you do things that are bad, if you don't do God's will, then God will punish you. Therefore, if bad things are happening to you, you must have done something to incur God's wrath. But if good things are happening to you, then you must have done something to incur God's goodwill. That's deuteronomic theology. And we all know it's bonkers, right? because the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Jesus was preaching to a people who should have known that. Had they been paying attention to what Moses and the prophets said, they would have known that. Had the rich man been paying attention to what Moses and the prophets said, he would have known it. Rich and poor, heaven and hell. Oxymorons. The idea of a rich man in hell, that violates Deuteronomic theology. The idea of a poor man in heaven violates Deuteronomic theology. What other oxymorons can you think of? I can think of a whole bunch. I looked them up on the internet. Hamburger steak, government assistance, jumbo shrimp, accidentally on purpose, almost pregnant or a little bit pregnant, awfully pretty, business ethics, airline cafeteria or hospital food, civil servant, customer service, daily special. If it's daily, how special could it be? Diminishing growth, liquid smoke, a numb feeling, numbing sensations, peace force. Here's a good one, semi-retired. Thank God I'm an atheist. Weather forecaster. Completely educated, yeah, right. The more you learn, the more you discover you need to learn. Critical acclaim, dressing casual, fairly accurate, oh, my very favorite, the Internal Revenue Service. Now, I thought they meant the Infernal Revenue Service. That would make perfect sense, but there's no service with the IRS. Oxymorons. Words that contradict themselves. According to Deuteronomic theology, a rich man in Hades, oh heck, let's just say it, hell, a rich man in hell is an oxymoron. And it's true. If you're rich towards God, if you're rich towards others, if you're rich in the important things of life, not cars, not boats, not houses, not God dollar, if you're rich in people, friends, loved ones, if you're rich in service towards others, if you're rich in the knowledge and the love of God, if you're rich in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're rich in praises to Almighty God, if you're rich in love and service to your fellow human being, then you have nothing to fear. But if you're poor in the things of God, if you're poor in service to others, if you're poor, stingy, unwilling to give to others of your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service. You may be rich in things, but poor in spiritual things. You may be rich in stuff, but poor eternally. Then you have much to fear. And there are times when I must admit that I'm stepping on my own toes right now. It's easy to become rich in things, rich in stuff, and poor in family and friends, and poor in the church, and poor in the things of God, the things that are most important. Did you hear the end of the story, the wonderful presentation we saw here today, and the reading itself? He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The Pharisees, the scribes, they should have known Moses and the prophets. This rich man should have known Moses and the prophets. They're not even going to listen if someone rises from the dead. In other words, they're not going to listen to Jesus. If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to Jesus. Who are we listening to? Are we listening to the world? The call of the world? The importance of things and stuff? Or are we listening to the call of Moses and the prophets, the call of Jesus to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves? Where are we today? Where are you today? That's a powerful question, isn't it? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that we're neither one place or the other. We're kind of in between. We seek after the riches and want the eternal riches. We want both. We want to have a foot in one world and a foot in the other. And unfortunately, eventually it gets so far apart that we end up doing an eternal split. That hurts, friends. You can't live with one foot in each world. We have to choose. Last week, I talked about the meaning of the word repent. We so much focus on the idea that it is, you know, beat on yourself, make yourself feel bad. That has nothing to do with repentance. Repentance is metanoia, a change of thinking, a change of mind, a change in what you're doing, a change from penting one direction to penting the other direction. It's as simple as that. It is possible for us to repent, to experience metanoia, a change of mind, from the things of this world to the things that God would have us do in and for this world, to piling up riches for ourselves, to piling up riches in and with and for God, spiritual riches. So ask yourself this question as we move towards the end of this church year and on towards Advent and Christmas. Ask yourself this question. What's most important for you? Where do you focus your life? Is your focus in life on yourself? Or is it on God and others? Is it on yourself and your things and your stuff and your desire and your will? Or is it on God and upon others? I encourage you, give that prayerful consideration. Be honest with yourself. And if you find you spend more of your time, more of your effort, more of your thoughts, more of your money, more of whatever, on yourself and not on God and others, then experience metanoia. Experience a change of mind. Experience a change of heart. Experience a change. Listen to Moses and the prophets and Jesus and change. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.